time again.
Something told me to turn on the radio.
It's showtime!
This is great. It's a nice break.
This guy, Todd.
Monday through Friday.
Getting restless.
5 to 7.
All right, I'm listening.
Let's start the show.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now. 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Oh, my God! I'm gorgeous!
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Of course, you can listen on the radio or you can watch it on the live stream, preferably not when you're driving. Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on Twitch. And you can even watch it later if you want. Just look me up, Evening Edge Todd. Tonight on the show, we've got more tickets to give away for the World Affair, which is kicking off tomorrow evening. Green County Expo Center runs through the weekend. So we'll do that. Also, another pair of tickets for Sunday night's evening with Phil Rosenthal, host of the Netflix series Somebody Feed Phil. I'm going to be moderating the evening. Up there on stage with Phil, talking about his show and his distinguished Hollywood career. So that's going to be cool. I know some people are like, well, who's Phil Rosenthal? He created Everybody Loves Raymond. Yeah, he's that guy with Ray Romano. And he's worked on a bunch of other shows, too. So that's going to be cool. But first, I got to I need to get Ron into here. Let's
see for a second here. Ron!
Yes, sir.
So you just did a story, and I was going to talk about this, so I thought I'd bring you into the conversation. The story about the hooning.
The hooning.
Hooning.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a hooning incident this morning. And a guy was hooning in a stolen vehicle at 3rd Street and Abbey Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost control. He was doing donuts of some sort, right? Isn't
yes.
that what they say?
Yep.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, it's just like driving like an idiot and spinning around and causing all kinds of chaos and squealing your tires. And here's actually a little clip. Yeah, so this is in the middle of the road somewhere. Traffic. Yeah, it's that. It's just being a fool.
Showing off
for the girls, mm-hmm. right? I think we used to do that as kids. I think teenagers, my friend Bill who had a car, sometimes we'd see girls on the street corner. Not those kind of girls, but we'd see girls out, hanging out. And we try to impress him, and he'd rev up the engine of his 68 Mustang, which was covered in rust.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the girls just loved it.
I'd peel out a little bit, if
oh,
you could.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But I got thinking about this, because this is a problem that's been going on for quite a while. There's been stories in the news. There's now, like, a whole task force that's looking into this. The cops in Dayton and surrounding areas are really trying to cut down on this because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this morning it was an RTA pull. I remember maybe a year or so ago there was some sort of, I don't know if they were hooning, but they were racing out on South Patterson and they crashed into a business's sign. You know, it's kind of out of control. So I started thinking about this. It's like, well, who could we blame this on? You know, I guess we could maybe blame it on that Fast and Furious franchise, right?
All 52 movies.
That's right. Young people see this, they get the idea, and they go, "Oh, I'm gonna soup up my car. I'm gonna make it fast. I'm gonna make it loud. I'm gonna put big rims and tires on it. You know, I'm gonna add all kinds of neon lights. It's gonna be awesome." And then they go out and cause chaos. That would be easy for us to say, oh, it's Fast and Furious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever there's a problem in society, we always have to blame it on something.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's violence, teenage violence, whatever, it's video games. That's the easy thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or violence against police at one time, it was rap music. We mm-hmm. always like to find what to blame it on.
Okay.
But I think it goes back further than just the Fast and the Furious movies. And I think it goes back even further than, say, Smokey and the Bandit, right? Because he was kind of crazy. He did a lot of hooning activities.
He did.
In that Trans Am.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to childhood.
Mm.
I really do. And what gave me this thought was a memory popped up on my Facebook from 2020 during the pandemic. And people were trying to, you know, pass the time and entertain themselves. And at that point, I was going through a bunch of old family photos. And I found a photo in particular. And I thought, oh, well, that's a great memory. So I posted it. It popped up today. And I thought, wait a second. There's a connection here. The universe must be telling me something.
Hmm.
I know exactly what started the hooning craze.
You've come to the conclusion after all of this research.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And this, I really believe that this could be the cause. You ready?
Let me have it.
Big wheels are a-rollin'. Listen to them turn. The big wheel sound of power with speed enough to burn. Winning. Spinning.
Spinning.
Breaking.
Breaking. Oh.
The big wheel by Marx. If we make it, it can take it.
I think the whole hooning thing started with big wheels when we were kids.
They were indoctrinating us.
Yes. Kids in my neighborhood had big wheels. I had a big wheel. We'd go out in the middle of the road, and we just pedal as hard as we could and hit the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And those plastic wheels just sent us flying. It sent us flying, and it was loud, and the girls loved it then.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was big wheel, and that's who we should blame this on. Huh. Blame all the hooning on Marx. And big wheels.
Do they still make those?
I have no idea. I wish they did.
I don't know if I've
no,
seen one.
No, you know
one.
What? They do, because somebody commented on my picture that I posted. I kind of reposted the memory of the big wheel. And somebody said, oh, I just put one of those together for my granddaughter.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
My earliest memory, I mean, as far back as I can go, is being on the big wheel.
Yeah.
And taking it at the end of the driveway and spinning and swinging it around and coming back to the other side and doing the same thing. Well, that is until I hit a rock and I flipped over completely.
That happens with hooning.
And it happens with hooning.
It's like the guy this morning.
It skinned my knee like horrendously. And you remember we had the spray. What was that? The disinfectant spray or whatever. What was that? Bactine.
Bactine. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Sprayed that on, which made it 100 times worse.
Yeah, but it made you a man.
Yes. Talk about getting indoctrinated.
Now, if you doubt what I'm saying, here is, again, the sound of the hooning. Now, of course, this is a car, right? It's a big, fancy car. Right. Okay, yeah. Now compare it to this skid.
Mm.
That was a big wheel skid. You hear that at the end? That little right there at the end.
It was far more exciting doing it than it was hearing it.
That is true. That is true. That's the best sound effect I could find online of a big wheel skid. I Googled it. I looked for like 3 hours. I was trying to find the perfect sound. And here's a kid. He's charging hard on that big wheel. Pulls the brake up and voila. Goes sliding
across the
driveway.
You could have gone to that edgehead's house and gone to their house and recorded it as the kid was spinning in the driveway.
I could.
You'd have been better off doing that.
Yeah, probably. Probably would have been a lot better. But you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can, without question, draw a line from the hooning chaos to the era of the big wheel when we were kids. And it was at that early age when we started, you know, spinning out on big mag wheels.
So what do we do about that moving forward then?
Oh, I don't have a solution to it.
You have a solution?
No,
I'm just pointing out the
blame. It's much easier to point blame than to actually come up with a fix.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, that's true. It makes you feel better too.
That's what we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, just something to ponder tonight. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. 937-457-1290, Nicholas in Kettering. Hey, Nicholas.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I think we're about the same age. And so, of course, you know, 5-6 years old, I had a big wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still childhood friends with Mark Drake. Can I say his name? That's not against the rules, is it? But Mark Drake and I had big wheels. And like you said, we tore up the street that we
sure.
lived on.
Yeah, you were hooning and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. So here's what I wanted to add, though. So later, maybe like 5 years later, you know, as a 10-year-old kid or whatever, dad had garage tools.
Right.
I started building like go-karts, and I actually was able to like put those big back wheels onto a go-kart, you know, thing that just went down
with an engine,
you know?
With an engine that had a little bit of horsepower.
No engine.
Oh, okay.
Like wood. But I put the big wheel tires on it.
I got you.
And then you had the rope that like steered the front tires, and you could, you had a swivel like axle on the front so you could turn.
Yeah.
So I would go down, our street was kind of like a hill, and I would go down a street, and we would like, again, do donuts, probably going like 25 miles
See,
an hour.
See, there you go. I bet you weren't wearing a helmet or a seatbelt.
Nope. And trust me, my grandma lived at the end of the street, and we'd just crash into her yard because, you know, if you kept going, you went out to a busy street. So we went down to grandma's yard and crashed.
Yeah, it was good times, wasn't it, Nicholas? Good times indeed.
Heck yeah. That's why Mark Drake and I are still friends. And, you know, actually, we tried to reenact that, you know, childhood memory one time, but I couldn't find a big wheel at Walmart or anything, but I think you can buy them online too.
Yeah,
what I want.
You can buy adult size big wheels now, from what I understand. All right, Nicholas, I got to fly here. Thanks for your call, buddy. If you got a comment on the glory of the big wheel,
it's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Something told me to turn on the radio.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, this Sunday night. I'm going to be moderating an evening with Phil Rosenthal of the Netflix series Somebody Feed Phil. It's going to be at Victoria Theater. If you would like tickets, I have a pair to give away. Just be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290, and we'll get you hooked up with a pair of tickets to see Phil Rosenthal, hosted and moderated by yours truly. Let's talk to, Niles in Beaver Creek. Hey, Niles.
Hey, what's going on, Todd?
How are you, man?
Hey, I like your big wheel thought. But this goes a lot further back than big wheels.
Well, I'm sure it does. I'm sure, you know, drag racing back in the day.
No.
Oh, it goes
further back than that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got our Yabba Dabba Doo Stone Age Hooner. That boy, he would pick up the size of his car.
Yeah.
And get his feet going. And then drop his car down, and he'd go, pow-pow! And then he'd go, yabba-dabba-doo!
Yeah, maybe that's it. See, it all goes back to those early influences.
Yeah, it's chromosomal.
It's chromosomal.
You have a great night.
You too, man. It's chromosomal. That explains it for sure.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Everybody, could I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Now, hold on, dummy. Just you listen to me.
Now, listen to me carefully.
You boys got something to say to me? Why don't you talk into the microphone?
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Shout out to Edgehead Billy He just sent me a picture that he says popped up on his news feed today. And he recalls me talking about the subject of the picture. And this was, I don't know when this was, maybe a couple of months ago. Years ago, there was a picture going around on the internet or on, you know, social media of somebody in an electric wheelchair or one of those rascals on the highway on 75. And the picture, and, you know, I'm going to see if I can share this. It's like a dashboard, dash cam shot, and it's from behind, and you see somebody in the wheelchair or scooter or whatever it is, and they are they're in the middle of the road, and they're exiting off of 75 onto Neff Road, and you see the street signs, the highway street signs. Wegener Ford Road, Siebenthaler, go straight. Get off, go right here for Neff Road. And that's the picture I was talking about. And I work a bit with Photoshop. That doesn't look Photoshopped. That looks legit. So I knew that it happened. I knew I saw this picture. But nobody confirmed it. I asked people in the newsroom. I said, do we have a story about somebody riding or driving their wheelchair on the highway? And nobody knew, but there it was. That's it. I'd love to find out more. 937-457-1290. Regina in Dayton. Hey, Regina.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's shaking with you?
Well, I want to make a comment on hooning.
Actually,
that goes hand in hand with drag racing, which began in 1930.
Well, sure. I get that. Drag racing. But, you know, doing the donuts and the skids and just going crazy, I really feel like that there's a link to big wheels. 100%.
Oh, yeah. But I just wanted you to know it went back farther than that to the 1930s.
I got you. All right, Regina. Thank you so much. Yeah. If you missed the first part of the show, we had a hooning incident this morning in Dayton, where a hooner, is that what they're called? Hooners? A hooner was hooning on, let's see, 3rd Street? Yeah, 3rd Street and Abbey Avenue, right there at the intersection. And it was a white performance car, which apparently was stolen out of Columbus. But the person who was doing the hooning crashed into an RTA pole, had to be taken to the hospital. Doing donuts. And I just made the point that, you know, as a kid, I had a big wheel. Many people had a big wheel. And that it probably stems from that. I mean,
big wheels are a-rollin'. Listen to them turn. The big wheel sound of power with speed enough to burn. Winning. Spinning. Braking.
And then you go into that long skid, right? And that's it's very much like early hooning. We were all hooning on our big wheels, but didn't realize it at the time. We have some mail.
Knock off the jaw jacket. It's time for mail call.
Master, I have mail for you.
A fan mail.
Oh, I'm a big fan of yours.
DeMail is here.
Your hate mailbox is full.
If you'd like to send me an email, it's eveningedgetodd@gmail.com. That's eveningedgetodd@gmail.com, or you can send me a message just like Billy did there with that picture of the person on their wheelchair on I-75. You can send it at Evening Edge Todd. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and that's all. That's all, really. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really do much there. Hey, Todd, you always say people shouldn't use food as a weapon. That is true. That's one of my hard, fast rules, and actually I have a story about another Florida man using food as a weapon coming up. Did you see the video of the hot dog barrage at the Mets game this week? It was $1 hot dog night, and hot dogs were flying through the ballpark. Would this count as using food as a weapon? Love your show, Randy and Pickwell. Well, thank you, Randy. I went and found the video. I didn't know about this, but I went and found the video. And here's the story. It was, I guess, Tuesday night. Citi Field in New York. It was the Mets and the Cubs. And the Mets decided to have dollar hot dog night, which is a great deal, right? A buck for a hot dog at a ballpark. Are you kidding? I think regularly they're probably like $8 or $9. Now, I would imagine these hot dogs weren't much to bark at, right? Dollar hot dogs. But hey, for a buck, you take a chance, right? They announced that night at the ballpark, they sold 44,269 hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs, especially when the attendance was only 22,880. That means, you do the math, that's like two hot dogs per person. That's a lot of wieners. But apparently there was a fan at the game who was there to celebrate the big hot dog night wearing a hot dog hat along with a custom T-shirt, which he would write on to keep track of the number of hot dogs and beers that he consumed. That sounds like a Mets fan. The shirt read, "Bad day to be a glizzy." Oh, yeah. Fans started launching hot dogs at him later in the game, before several police and security staff went down to a section and escorted him out of the stadium. So people were throwing hot dogs at this guy, but yet he's the one who got kicked out. It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, you can't go around and kick everybody out who's throwing hot dogs. You got to take the target out of the picture. I get it. At that time, in the ninth inning, he had consumed 9 hot dogs and 10 beers. So I'm sure he was feeling really, really good. Pictures of him showed up later on social media riding the subway. And he was still wearing the big hot dog hat. I don't think that that really counts as food as a weapon. Because as I watched the video, it was done in jest. It was done in fun, right? And I get it. When I worked for the Dragons back in 2000 during their inaugural season, from time to time, we would take a giant slingshot and shoot wieners into the crowd. And the people went nuts. You'd be surprised what people will do for a free hot dog. It was insane. And sure, I'm sure some people got smacked upside of the head with a wiener there at the ballpark. But again, great fun. And not a weapon. Not a weapon. However, we do have a food as a weapon story, and surprisingly, the third night in a row, it's a Florida story. Oh, Florida man shines with every single crime, stupefying and delicious. Some might even think fictitious. Florida man is always ambitious. So Tuesday night, we had a story of somebody in Florida, a Florida man, using pasta as a weapon. Now, I'm not going to play the pasta sound effect again because I got a couple of messages from people saying, knock it off playing the pasta. Unless you want me to. I'm happy to do it. It's right here. Do it. Ian, my producer, says do it. So he's to blame for this. There you go. That's the pasta being stirred around right before it was turned into a weapon by a Florida man. And then last night, we had a story of a Florida man throwing fried chicken. He got into an altercation with his sister and grabbed a bucket of Church's chicken off the counter and started pelting her with fried chicken. And that was, you know, he got in trouble for that. So here we are now, Thursday night, 3 days in a row. We have a story from Florida. 73-year-old man somehow was able to forcibly throw a cheeseburger at a cop, leading to the suspect's arrest of a felony battery charge. Wednesday night, cops were called to a Wawa. I guess that's what you call it, a Wawa. Wawa. It's a convenience store chain down south, Florida. This was in Fort Pierce. They were called in reference to a subject being present who had been previously trespassed from the Wawa. Since the trespass warrant was still active, or the trespass citation, whatever, police arrested the man and placed him in cuffs. And at the time of the arrest, cops say the man was holding half of a cheeseburger and refused to drop the burger. Drop your burger! He wouldn't do it. Might have been his only meal that day. Who knows? After the handcuffs were placed on the suspect, the arresting officer says the man managed somehow to forcibly throw the burger in his direction, hitting the officer's right leg. He got smacked with a burger upside the thigh. The officer in his report said the attack left burger residue on the thigh of his uniform. Residue. I bet there was wiener residue left on people at Citi Field. The suspect was charged with trespassing, a misdemeanor, and battery of a law enforcement, a felony. He was assaulted with half of a cheeseburger. He should have just jammed it in his mouth real quick, right? Just shove it in there. But I'm surprised that they didn't, knock it out of his hand or something before they cuffed him. You would think they would search him before they did that. I don't know. But, so there you go. There's food is a weapon.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
O.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
What do we know about this guy, Mr. Hot Stuff?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny, on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, tomorrow on Netflix. I'm looking forward to this. It's the Jerry Seinfeld movie, Unfrosted, about the invention of Pop-Tarts. And I was talking to somebody here in the building today. They're actually having a viewing party tomorrow night, and they're going to be serving Pop-Tarts. And I love that idea. What a great idea. But it's going to be on Netflix, and it's called Unfrosted. 937-457-1290. Rick in Centerville. What's up, Rick?
Oh, going to the Dragons game. I heard you worked there.
Yeah, back in 2000.
Yeah. Anyway, my food is a weapon story. I have a grandson in San Diego, and he was in the cafeteria, and somebody dropped a hamburger, and he gave it a kick. Second grader, and hit a teacher in the face. He spent the next five lunch periods with the principal.
Wow.
Next 5 days.
Yeah.
So they're on first-name basis now.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Food is a weapon. Food is a weapon, should not be tolerated in society. I appreciate your call, Rick.
A little delinquent got in trouble at home, too.
I would imagine. Thanks, man. Scott in New Lebanon. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
Talking about the hot dogs, you know?
Yeah.
A buck for a hot dog is a good deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a normal hot dog you would get at the ballpark, but a buck for a hot dog, you know, okay. That's fine.
Now, back before the pandemic, we used to go to Columbus to watch the Clippers play,
mm-hmm.
and it was dime a dog night. You could get up to 20 hot dogs for $2.
20 hot dogs for $2?
Yeah, dime a dog.
Dime a dog. Wow. That's that's a good deal. You know, you could sneak a backpack in there or something and buy 40 or 60 of them or something and take them home for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody got 20 when we would go and we'd take a bunch of them home.
That's crazy.
Dime a dog.
That's a great promotion.
I asked my daughter if they still do that, and she moved out of Columbus. She doesn't know. Yeah. I'd like to go back for that.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out. We'll look for that. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Dime a dog. Man, you talk about a dollar hot dog not being that great of a quality hot dog. What quality of a hot dog is a hot dog that only costs a dime? That's a good question.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T O
double D
H O
double L
S T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
I'm looking for the dude by the name of Todd.
He's a local boy.
He's a clever boy.
He's got the microphone.
He's got all the firepower he needs, and he ain't afraid to use it.
We heard about your broadcast.
Woo! It's like Fruit Loops.
Okay, let's get this started.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
I don't wear a mask for the same reason I don't wear underwear. Things gotta breathe.
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Live stream is up, as always, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. With this hour, we have a pair of tickets to give away for the World Affair. It's happening this weekend at the Greene County Expo Center at the Greene County Fairgrounds. Starts tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Saturday and Sunday. It opens at 11. Food from around the world and drinks and beverages, adult beverages, and entertainment. No yodeling, though. I've been told no yodeling. I'm still tempted, though, when I go to yodel myself. And speaking of yodeling, when you hear the yodeling, the classic yodeling clip that I play from time to time, just be the fifth caller and we'll hook you up with those tickets for a World Affair. I remember talking about this guy in the story I'm about to read to you, deliver to you, share with you. He's from Pennsylvania and he has an emotional support pet. You know, speaking of which, for one second, we've talked about emotional support pets quite a bit on the show. And usually it's something crazy, like someone trying to get on a plane with a peacock, you know, or a snake or something like that. And then they're turned away and say, no, you can't do that. And then they lose their minds and it ends up on social media. And we have fun with it here on the show. But I've never really talked to anybody on the show locally who might have an emotional support pet. And when I say emotional support pet, I mean an emotional support pet that never leaves your side. Never leaves your side. Because I feel like that's what a social or an emotional support pet would do. You know, if you have an animal like that, you would always need to have that animal with you. In my head, that's how it works. Now, maybe I'm wrong. But this guy in Pennsylvania, I remember talking about him. I've talked about this guy a couple of times. Last year, he sort of was making the rounds because he has an emotional support alligator. And his name is Wally. Wally the alligator. And he would post pictures. The guy, his name is Joey Henney. He would post pictures online, videos of people petting his 5.5-foot gator like a dog, hugging it like a bear. He'd take it out for walks. He'd take it to the park. And of course, it's leashed up, as any good alligator would be. But it was very popular, very popular. So I remember talking about that, and it's like, oh, well, that's just ridiculous. At some point, somebody's going to get chomped on by this alligator named Wally. Then last year he made the news again because he tried to take Wally to a baseball game in Philadelphia. He tried to take his emotional support alligator to, I guess, I don't know, is it Veterans Stadium? Maybe it's not called that anymore, but at one time that's where the Phillies played, I believe. And they said, no, you cannot bring an alligator into a ballpark full of people. So, you know, he was up in arms about that. Well, now he's back in the news one more time. He went on vacation last month in Brunswick, Georgia, which is a city on the coast just south of Savannah. And he took Wally with him. And this is what I'm saying, is that if you have an emotional support pet, I would imagine it goes wherever you go. It goes with you to the grocery. It goes with you to the workplace. It goes with you to the movies. It goes wherever you go, because you never know when you're going to need that emotional support. There are so many triggers in the world anymore. And if you're delicate like that, you could have an episode and need that instant emotional support. So this guy took his alligator with him on vacation. Well, guess what? Somebody stole his alligator. Apparently, Wally, wherever they were staying, and I don't know if they were renting a house, Airbnb, hotel. Now, see, that's a question. The hotel. Do you allow pets? Sure, you can bring your dog, bring your cat. How about my gator? That would also be something you put on an Airbnb ad. Dogs okay. Maybe cats. No alligators. No porcupines. No peacocks. Anyway. Somebody stole Wally the alligator from a fenced-in outdoor enclosure where he was chilling. Henny says pranksters left Wally outside of a home and the resident called authorities to report an alligator. They didn't know whose alligator it was. It was just an alligator. So they sent in a licensed trapper who apparently, and the state confirms this, found Wally doing his gator thing out on the front lawn of some stranger's house. And they swapped him up, or, you know, swooped him up. Yeah, swooped him up, swept him up, grabbed him, and took him to a undisclosed location and released Wally into the wild, which you really have to be concerned about because, you know, once an animal has sort of been raised in an environment like that where he doesn't have to hunt for his own food, he doesn't have to, you know, go out and do alligator things in the wild, he wouldn't know what to do. He's been domesticated. So now this guy, Joey Henny, is looking for his beloved Wally, the alligator. He's missing. In Georgia, you're not allowed to keep alligators as pets, which makes sense to me. In Ohio, I don't believe you can keep an alligator as a pet either. In Pennsylvania, there is no state law against owning alligators. You can have an alligator in Pennsylvania as a pet, which is odd to me. I mean, there's a lot of rural area in Pennsylvania. You know, we hear about Philly, we hear about Pittsburgh, maybe Erie. I mean, there's other, you know, obviously cities there in Pennsylvania. But I've got family that lives there, and there is a lot of rural area. So maybe not a big deal. You know, maybe have an alligator out on your farm. Sure, why not? The only stipulation is you can't release them into the wild. That makes sense, right? Alligators are not going to do well in the Pennsylvania climate. So the emotional support alligator Wally that's come up on the show many times is now missing. I thought for sure maybe Wally just split. He'd had it with this whiny, emotionally weak person and said, you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of crying your crocodile tears, so to speak. And yeah, I know he's an alligator. But we have actually a positive animal story here.
Oh, I'm a good dog. I'm a good dog. I'm a good dog. Yes, Yes, I'm a good dog, I'm a good dog, I'm a good dog. I'm a good dog, I'm a good dog, I'm a good, I'm a real, well, I'm a real, I'm a good, I'm a, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm a real good dog. See, I'm a good dog, I'm a good dog, I'm a good dog.
Well, this is a great dog story. It didn't start out good. It did not start out good at all. But this dog story, it's a story of survival. And it's just, it's. I'm very excited to tell you this story. This is from Elkhorn, Nebraska. Now, Elkhorn last week was hit by a devastating tornado. One of the many locations that were hit by tornadoes over the last week or so. You've seen the videos. It's crazy, just crazy. A Rottweiler puppy named Zeus was at home upstairs in his kennel at a home belonging to a family there in Elkhorn when the tornado swept through and flattened their home. As the storm passed, apparently it swooped up Zeus's kennel and sent him flying. Flying through the air. And I'm not talking like 20 feet, 30 feet. Zeus's kennel was found four blocks away from the house. So this dog went on a journey. The kennel was found and Zeus was gone. But apparently the door had somehow broken open. And I totally get that, you know. Who knows how high he got? I mean, he could have been 1,000 feet in the air. You see tornado footage all the time. Debris gets picked up, lifted into the sky, and deposited somewhere else. But last Friday, Zeus was found by the Nebraska Humane Society lying on a mattress two blocks from his home. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I'm sure you've seen it on TV. When neighborhoods are completely flattened by tornadoes, a lot of people have a hard time trying to find where they lived because, you know, all of the landmarks are gone. And I wonder if a dog uses that as any sort of point of reference. I mean, dogs have a great sense of smell, so maybe they could follow their nose and find their space. Find their family, you know, because everybody has their own smell. Every house has its own smell. And dogs probably are aware of that. But they found the dog. An animal control officer carried the 126-pound dog. That's a puppy? Holy cow. Local rescue took him in. Zeus sustained minor injuries. They say he lost a few nails on his paws. Had scratches on his nose, and his hind legs were a bit stiff, but otherwise he was in good spirits and was being treated at a local veterinarian clinic and was reunited with his family. So that's a great story. Zeus survived being lofted up into the air. That's right, that Zeus, raw. He survived that. That's a great story. I'm glad Zeus is okay.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
And a top. Tom, what were you again?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 7. You know, something that's very popular right now, and it's sort of on fire. It's women's sports. Huh? it's a big deal right now. And in fact, the NCAA basketball tournaments, the men's and women's, more people watch the women's final than they did the men's final. That is 100% true. And this has sort of been growing over time. But there is a bar out in Portland, Oregon, and it's just a local bar there, And it's called, are you ready for this? It's called the sports bra. Not bar, bra. Like a sports bra. And that's what they call it. And it only shows women's sports inside the bar. It's a sports bar that only shows women's sports. And somebody who owns Reddit, so he's got a lot of money, has made a big investment in the sports bra. Well, I guess it could be a she. Alexis? I guess that's probably a she. So she, not he. She made an investment, and they're planning on opening the sports bra and turning it into a franchise throughout the country. There's going to be sports bras, bars, that pop up. And I don't know if Dayton will get one. Probably not. But I can see Cincinnati getting one. Or maybe Columbus. So I'd just be curious if anybody would be eager to patronize a sports bar that only shows women's sports. What do they do on Super Bowl Sunday? What are they going to do? I don't know. Maybe they'd show that, you know what they could do? That lingerie football league. There's a league where women play football. It's like flag football, but they do it in lingerie. Maybe they'd show that. Probably not.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
Could this day get any more fantastic?
Let's get on with it.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Well, that was the yodeling. Be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290, and you will win yourself a couple of tickets to a world affair happening at the Greene County Expo Center and at the Greene County Fairgrounds. Starts tomorrow at 5, 5 to 10, Saturday 11 to 10, Sunday 11 to 6. Three great days of food, drinks, and entertainment from around the world. And if you happen to be there when I stop by, you will hear yodeling. I am bound and determined to make sure there's yodeling. You can get tickets for this at aworldaffair.org. And affair is spelled A-F-A-I-R. That kind of affair, not the other kind of affair, which is spelled differently. aworldaffair.org. Let's talk to Dan in Tip City. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Todd? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Oh, I've got a Captain Wally alligator story.
A Captain Wally? Have you met Captain Wally?
I have rode in Captain Wally's boat.
Wait, what? Captain Wally, the alligator that I was talking about? What do you mean he has a boat?
Well, I don't think it's the alligator you're talking about. And ironically, we were talking about this today at work because I have got a employee that's headed to the Everglades on Saturday.
Okay.
But so, my in-laws live about an hour from the Everglades. And about every other year, we'll drive the hour down and do the airboat tour to the Everglades.
Okay.
And this one was about 8 or 9 years ago. We were on the airboat tour with Captain Wally, and he stopped at his favorite alligator, and he actually was feeding it, and all of us were filming it, and I've got the video actually on my old phone. But and we're like, God, aren't you afraid you'll get your hand bit off? And he's like, oh, no, this is my favorite gator. And he was petting him and everything, you know, and we went about our tour, got back home, and about 3 weeks later on Entertainment Tonight, there's the story, Captain Wally got his right hand bit off.
No!
Yep. No. You can Google it because I Googled it today to show my employee. But anyway, they ended up shooting that particular gator and got the hand out of his stomach, but in the hospital they could not reattach it. So he got sent home a couple days later to recuperate.
Yeah.
And then the police and the Florida Department of Wildlife showed up and arrested him because someone on the boat put the video on social media, and they arrested him, and he got a heavy fine for feeding the gators, which is not allowed in Florida.
So did they cuff him? They cuffed Wally? Did they cuff it like on to his ankle and then a hand?
That's the only way I could see they could possibly do it.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting question. Like, how do you cuff somebody with one hand?
And that's a real smack in the face. I mean, not with the hand that's missing, but the other hand, at least lose your hand and then have to pay a stiff fine and go to jail.
And you know what? I would say that's a bit of a raw deal for the hand, for the alligator. Because, look, here's the thing. If you're the guy who's going out there and you're messing with the alligators and you're saying, hey, watch, I'm going to feed the alligator, and you lose your hand, why should the alligator then get shot?
Well, they were trying to get the hand back.
You lost your hand. You were the idiot who was trying to feed the alligator for show. And no, that is the price you pay.
He paid it. Does that mean he's handicapped now?
Well, yeah, he probably gets a better parking spot now because he lost a hand to an alligator. Yeah. All right,
anyway,
Tim.
That jarred the memory for sure.
I appreciate your call, buddy. Tim in Bellbrook. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well.
I just heard you mention the LFL, and I wanted to give you an update on that. They call themselves the Legends Football League now, and they do play tackle, and they don't really wear lingerie. They wear shorts and a shirt that's like the midriff shows.
Okay, so I mean, they're not running around in negligee, and I wasn't. If I inferred that, that wasn't my intent. But the shorts are pretty skimpy.
Yeah, they wear pretty skimpy outfits.
Yeah, that's the whole point. But they tackle.
Yeah, they do tackle.
Wasn't it flag football at one time?
It might have been at the beginning, but the last time I watched it, they were playing tackle.
Yeah. Now, see,
they play on like an arena league 50-yard field.
Yeah. I wonder, and I, you know, I don't go too deep into things that are political or super controversial or cultural or anything like that. But I wonder the women out there who are all in favor of women's sports, and that's fine, that's great, how they feel about that kind of football, or if they'd rather have like women playing actual football, not dressed in scantily clad outfits, you know, uniforms, or if they'd rather just really see some hard hitting action.
So yeah, they play all out tackle football.
Yeah,
but some of them I think their skirt shorts are a little too skimpy. You know how some football players, no matter where they're at, have a towel.
Yeah.
A lot of them will have them tucked in the back of their shorts so it hangs down the back lower than their shorts do.
Gotcha. Well, I'll have to check it out. I've seen clips of it here and there, but I've never actually sat through an entire game.
Yeah, I've watched some entire games. They're pretty good, actually, I thought.
Okay.
I mean, they're playing all out, you know.
Right.
I think they changed the Legends from lingerie to be taken more seriously.
Sure. I get it. All right. Thanks, Tim, for the update. I appreciate it. That line's open, 937-457-1290. All right, so this Saturday is the Run for the Roses. It is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And this was always a big deal in my house when I was growing up. And I've mentioned this. In fact, I mentioned it maybe a few nights ago, that my late grandfather, he was a big horse racing guy. He was a bookie. But he loved the horses, and every year, we'd either go to their house or they'd come to our house and we would watch the Kentucky Derby. And it was the same way with the Preakness and the same way with the Belmont. It was always very exciting. Though I've never been to the Derby. I've been to plenty of horse races in my life, but I've never made it to the Derby. And I would say that's probably on my bucket list for sure, because I want to wear one of those fancy hats. Yeah. One of those big fascinators, is that what they call it? I don't know what that's what, but this Saturday is the big race, and it's always fun to kind of go down the list and look at the horses' names and pick your favorite. I don't know anything about, you know, the odds. I mean, I've got the odds here, but I don't know who's riding the horses, who's the trainer. I don't care. I just think it's fun to pick a name that you like. So there are 20 horses, and I'm going to go through this. The number one in the number one spot, and I think we discussed this last night on the live stream. It's spelled D-O-R-N-O-C-H, and I've not heard it pronounced anywhere. I don't know if that's Dornock or Dornock, if you hear the difference. There is a difference. So that's one. We got Sierra Leone, Mystic Dan, Catching Freedom, Catalytic, Just Steel, as in steel, like metal, Honor Marie, Just a Touch, T.O. Password, Forever Young, Track Phantom, West Saratoga, Endlessly, Domestic Product, Grand Mo the First, Fierceness, which looks like might be the favorite. The odds are 5-2. Stronghold, Resilience, Society Man, and Epic Ride. So I was going through this and I thought, well, which one would I like to, you know, hitch my wagon to, so to speak? And I think I'm going to go with a long shot. Society Man. That is my horse. I am gonna put a couple of bucks down with my bookie. I don't know. I don't know any bookies. I don't. Be cool if I did. I'd love to have a bookie friend. Oh, Ian, you know bookies? Oh, you're the bookie. Oh, I don't know if I trust you. I'm going to put money down on Society Man. 50-1. But those are some interesting names. I've seen fields that have better names. I would say that these names, I'd give a C. Maybe a C+. But I like Society Man. That's a good one. Catalytic, that's kind of popular right now because of the catalytic converters, you know. That's not bad. That's about it. That's all I got. So I'm going to go with Society Man. So put some money down, and if you win, if Society Man wins, we'll be able to, you know, talk about it on Monday. Well, I won't be here on Monday. That's right. I'm on vacation next week. I forgot. Well, we'll talk about it when I come back. But I'm looking forward to Saturday. It should be a fun race.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
I'm just trying to make a living.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5-7. I need to give a shout out to a special edgehead who goes by the name of Captain Scurvy. Kind of a weird guy, candidly. Just odd, weird. He watches the live stream, makes really strange comments, bad puns. But it was brought to my attention earlier that today is International Scurvy Awareness Day. Now, I know it's not the same scurvy. It has nothing to do with Captain Scurvy, but he is a bit of a fruit. So, happy International Scurvy Awareness Day to my friend, Captain Scurvy. We're going to end the show tonight with some...
First, we both get naked.
Naked news.
Why are you naked?
I didn't know you were naked.
He saw me naked.
naked.
I think we should get naked.
Be naked.
I am naked.
Well, this naked news story takes place in New Hampshire. There was a guy who was arrested for being naked inside of a gym. 34-year-old guy. He was, according to witnesses, he walked into the gym, stripped down at the door, and then proceeded to walk back and forth a couple of times before sitting down on some yoga mats, where he then proceeded to start doing naked yoga. Cops say that when they showed up and they questioned the man, he said that he believed that the gym, at least from their commercials, was a judgment-free zone. That's right. He was in a Planet Fitness, and that's their slogan. It's a judgment-free zone. Now, I don't know if this guy was just trying to make a point or if he really believed that going in to a fitness, Planet Fitness, and stripping down would be considered, you know, a judgment-free zone. Like, he wouldn't get judged for that, but he clearly was wrong. He was taken into custody and charged with indecent exposure, lewdness, and disorderly conduct. So apparently it is a judgy zone. You can't be naked, especially on the yoga mats. Wouldn't be so bad on a treadmill, but anything that you sit on, you don't want to. Exercise bike? No. Weight bench? No. Yoga mat? No. Well, there you go. There's the show. Have a terrific night. I'm going to Lion King down at the Schuster. So I will give you a full report tomorrow. Is playing there at the Schuster now through, I think it was the 14th, 15th. It's going to be there for a few weeks. I think that's right, yeah. I interviewed the guy last night who plays Timon. Should know. Have a terrific Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow. Just after 5, don't forget you can get the podcast at eveningedgetodd.com or all the other podcast platforms. Have a great night.
Well, show's over, folks. Thanks for coming.
Good show, old man.
Bravo. That was wonderful.
Game over, man.
Peace out.